Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends of Southwest Florida. How are you today on this glorious day? I'm upbeat. I'm cheerful. I'm happening. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. But I also know that you guys tune into this show to get your mind off all that garbage. So we're going to do it. We're here. I'm Craig Sheeman. I am at Estero. Pete Shepherd is with me, but not with me, in Bonita. Chris is here on the other side of the glass. And we are ready to go for a big Tuesday. You know, that's Red Alert Tuesday, where we put people and situations and teams on blast. Master Pete Theater with another edition later on in the program, plus Wikipedia. Whole lot of fun in store today. If you want to jump on, our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can follow me at CraigESPN and follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. We all know that our phones are working. My call screener is working today. The internet is working. Whoa. Texts are working. Everything is working. It is a glorious day. Pete Shepherd, how are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic, boys. Everything's so far so good. Wife's out of the house today doing some errands. She's got the day off, and which means... the dog will be sitting next to me. Char will be here the whole time.
We have a third co-host.
We have a third co-host.
You're sure? That's all good.
Yep.
All right. Well, good. I don't usually start off the show reading texts, but as you know, we have some texters that even start texting in right before we get on the air. I always appreciate that because they're
preamble,
ready to go.
Love it. Yeah.
Obviously, Big 12 guy. He's a regular. It says rock and roll fellas. Gunpowder asking us if we can do the show from 1 to 6 instead of 2 to 6. That's a long day, Gunpowder. That's a long day. Thirsty Nick with an update. We know that he was building a treadmill from scratch for his fiance. He has successfully done that, showed us pictures. Now she's so happy she's now ordered an exercise bike. It has arrived, hundreds of pieces. He says pray for him.
No way is he getting that to. Well, you know what?
He did the last one.
He did the last one, yeah.
We doubted him, and he did it. By the
way,
hire
somebody.
He says he's also working on a thank you gift for us for letting him do his Thursday quiz. Needs T-shirt sizes. Me and Pete, 2XL, Chris, a large. How about that?
I usually do it, depending on the style, XL or double. I always go a double XL because shirts shrink.
That is exactly how I roll. Yes.
Yeah.
Down 28 lbs since coronavirus started, by the way.
Wow, thank outstanding.
Down 28? 28.
Wow. I'm down 7.
Good.
It's incredibly down 7. But
most of the country's going in the other direction.
Although I found out, I stepped on a scale that was on carpet the other day.
Well, that's not good.
That doesn't work.
I was down like 100 pounds.
Right.
It was a thing of beauty.
That's a good deal.
And then you put it on tile, and then what happened?
I got it back.
Got your 100. Found your 100. Cougar Hunter says 2 p.m. Woo! That's right. And Finn's up. Let's see here. Maryland Mike, good afternoon, guys. Very timely suggestion for Master Pete Theater. Colors by Ice-T. Now, Pete Shepherd is solely 100% in charge of the selections. He will listen to requests, but he will do them at his own pace.
I promise you, Maryland Mike, that will be in the rotation, just not this week. Because you can't just ask and receive on, you know, not that anyway. There's a very, very, very formal process that goes into Master Pete Theater.
Yes.
I have minions. I have my two co-hosts here. I have producers. I have music people. I have to go through the White House. I mean, there's a lot of things I have to do.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I have to do. It's not just I don't just pick a song. You know, it's like picking an apple off a tree. There's a process here. It's a very, it's a long process. It's like me. It's like preparing for the Super Bowl. You start preparing for next year's Super Bowl, like the day after the Super Bowl.
Yes,
that's what I do for Masterpiece Theater. So at Tuesday, at 6:06. I'm already preparing for next Tuesday. That's how I rule.
That's good.
And I never know what it is until I hear it on the air. But at some point, we probably need to check in with the FCC occasionally from time to time regarding lyrics. That's all I'm saying.
No, because we've never had a problem.
No. We've had a couple.
I censor my. I try not to pick songs that have too much colorful metaphors in them, so to speak, and just move on.
Yeah. Right. Very good. All right. Coming off of my very upbeat intro, everything's very positive. I do have a beef to pick with someone in sports. I don't want to turn it into a negative thing, but I think it needs to be pointed out. Did you by any chance, Pete Shepard, see Dallas Maverick owner Mark Cuban's tweet from yesterday?
No, I probably should have, but I'll be honest with you, I haven't. I just the only NBA thing, condolences to Wes Unseld family.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
Great guy. Hall of Famer.
You talk about posting up with a big booty back in the day.
Oh,
man, Bulls coach, good. Right?
Man,
I remember he was a Wizards coach.
No, he was MVP. He was MVP. He was when the Bullets won the championship in 78. They were real good back then. Yep. And only DJ and the Supersonics took it from him in 79. Yep. They would have won back to back.
Yeah. Well, on to Mark Cuban. He wrote on Twitter, and it offended me. Everybody's being offended with everything that's been going on. I shall read it to you. And I'm going to stop periodically until
I miss this. Hang on. Let me try and find it. Okay, go ahead.
Well, it's short. You know, it's Twitter. It's short. I'm not going to read a soliloquy or anything. All right, Mark Cuban. Dear white people. I'm offended.
Well, it grabs you. It grabs you right off the bat.
I mean, if I started off a letter or a tweet, dear black people, dear brown people, would I offend people? I don't know. But already I'm sensing blanket statement. Blanket statement. All right. So,
well, I'm not offended yet.
Okay. All right. Dear white people, we are the ones that need to change. All right. Let me stop right there. As I said on the show yesterday, we had a very thoughtful show. We had difficult conversations. I am a man that does not have hatred or racism in my heart. Mm-hmm. I try to treat all people equally and friendly. And I don't think I am the problem, Mark Cuban. I really, really don't. And so for him to start off, dear white people, we are the ones that need to change. I take exception with that. There's more. He goes, this is not one man's story. This is almost every black man's story. Which is why the problem is now ours. We need to find our way to change what we do. Again, I really don't think I do. There are people that do. That policeman is one of them in Minnesota, no doubt about it. And he's not the only one. There are racists in the country, no doubt about it. I don't think I'm one. So
they're racists of all creeds and ethnic backgrounds.
Yes, yes.
I
don't think I am one of them. Am I a perfect human being? No. But I do. Do I think I'm a racist? No. All right, let's continue. After we need to find our way to change what we do. This is to white people. There is no quick fix. It is a moral imperative. He followed that up with another tweet. He said, I used to think treating people equally meant treating them the same, like it was a math equation. I was wrong. I don't know what the hell that means. He goes on to finish, I'm learning that treating people equally means treating them with equal amounts of respect for who they are and what they have experienced. Again, I think I do that. I don't think the problem is me, Mark Cuban. And I don't like you throwing a big blanket statement over me and everybody in a particular race. Maybe you have some shortcomings in your life. Maybe you've had some incidents in your life. And maybe you have a little guilt. And see, I hate this when he's doing what the Hollywood types do. You know, they think they could talk down to all of us minions over here because we don't have as much money or we're not as important as they are. They do this at the Emmys every year. He's doing the same thing that they do, and it rubbed me the wrong way today. Now, am I overreacting? I don't know, but it rubbed me the wrong way.
Here's just a response from this guy, Courtney, on Twitter to him. Says, as an African-American, I would dare not point the finger at only Caucasians. It has been a strain and sad to say that all races, including our own, treat us badly. It is due time for a change in the entire human race. Now, that's more accurate, a lot more accurate. And
look, people, you know, Mark Cuban, are look, people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I mean, Mark Cuban is Jewish, and I'm sure he underwent his share of anti-Semitic, right? I mean, he changed his name. Cuban's not his real last name. It was shortened when he came over, like a lot of immigrants' parents when they came over to this country. He went to IU, by the way.
I'm aware. Yeah. I'm aware.
But so I'm sure he understands. I'm sure he, that he went through some anti-Semitic at times. But this is a blanket statement is not needed here. I think the quote I just read from that guy who tweeted back at him is dead on. It's just, it's everybody has to, well, there are a lot of people that have to change their attitude. And the problem is, you're going to get the curmudgeon, fuddy-duddy people, and a lot of the older generation, no offense, that are never going to change. Never. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Never. They believe what they believe. They say what they say, and there isn't anybody on the planet that's ever going to change their mind. It's their way. It's their way or the highway. So I think it's up to, obviously, the younger people are up to the guys in their 50s. I think once you get to the 60s and people in the 60s and 70s and 80s, now maybe I shouldn't do this, but I don't know a lot of people that are about to change their political beliefs or their stance on any particular race by the time they hit 60. It's usually, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done with very, very few exceptions. And it's sad. It's sad because a lot of people just don't like to change. They don't like change at all.
Yeah.
It's like, I grew up in the 40s and 50s, and this is the way it was, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, that's not the way it is.
I think there's some there because I have enjoyed watching my children grow up. Look, we all know I grew up in Carmel, Indiana. It's 99.9% white, or was back in the day. I don't know if it still is. So I did not grow up around kids that were different than me. I faced that probably when I moved to Los Angeles. I lived in Los Angeles and in Houston, but that's where my kids were small, and that's where my kids grew up. And I watched my kids grow up in two very international cities, Los Angeles and Houston. In fact, heck, in Houston, we might have been the minority as a white family, to be honest with you, in our own neighborhood. But I've enjoyed watching my children grow up. They have no real concept, or they had no real concept what racism was, because they grew up with people around them all in kindergarten, first grade, preschool, and on up that were all different. You know, I had to teach them what racism was by, explaining things that we would see in the news and what was going on and all that. But that was a sweet thing for me to grow up, to be a parent and watch my kids grow up with international kids from all races all around them. It was a much different upbringing than I had. Some other texts here. Donnie says, thin ice, guys, be cautious. No, I don't think it is thin ice. I think it's fine to have this conversation, and I do not fear it.
Nor do I. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, married 1 year, says Craig, if you know that Mark Cuban isn't talking to you, then you wouldn't be offended. Okay, fine. Let's see here. My man Otis, calm down, Craig. Can't let everything offend you. Probably good advice, Otis. Very good advice. And Mr. Know-It-All says, Craig, you're wrong on this one. What you're saying is a form of denial that ignores the issue.
No, I that's not what he. No, I'm going to stand up for my partner here. That's not what he's saying. It's unfair. Like we talk about Craig all the time. Like there's no rappers in Canada or anywhere. It's just that broad brush should not be painted for any scenario. And I'm sorry, but I think the quote that I read from one of the responders here, is dead on. Just saying. It's everybody. It's not just white people. It's everybody. A lot. Not everybody, but it's Pete. There are people of all races and creeds that think that way, that are ignorant and arrogant and racist.
Yes.
It's not just limited to all Caucasians. I mean, my God.
I think at the end, we all have these, everybody's saying we got to have conversations. We do. Okay, we're talking, but then my question all day yesterday and today, and I'll kind of wrap it up with this, is, okay, but what are we going to say in the conversation, and what are we going to do? There's no president or Congress or senator or a plan or a law that I think will do anything. You've got to change people's hearts. And like you said, the older people that have been growing up that way, they're probably too late for them. The younger generation, like my kids, I have high hopes for them. But people need to change in their hearts. It probably is a religious issue. It starts with God. I mean, your heart, the whole thing. That's where it needs to hit home with some people. There's no policy or particular politician that can wave a magic wand and fix this. This has to be an inner search with every individual on this planet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I still think we are really missing the point here. You know, this started with the murder of George Floyd. And I'll tell you, I'm so glad when I said murder the other day that, you know, because somebody said, that's not being fair. And I'm like, you know, now I'm definitely glad I said it, because former, where was it? What's his name? What the heck's his name? Judge Napolitano, who was on Fox News last night.
Yeah.
And he's on there quite frequently, former judge. And he absolutely said the officer should be charged with murder. Mm-hmm. He said, and his fellow officers that stood around should be charged with accessory to first-degree murder. He said that normally we'd probably get pleaded down to second degree. But, of course, we know he's only been charged with third degree.
Yes.
But I was so glad that he said what he said, because absolutely there was intent to kill. He said there was no doubt in his mind. That's on Fox.
Yeah.
That's not CNN.
Right.
That's Fox. So
I don't know how anybody could look at that video and have any other argument against that, or say anything differently than what he said.
But that's now it's a completely separate issue, that compared to the looting that is going on. And I'm telling you, most of the people that are just entitling themselves to free shoes and whatever it is they're stealing, they don't care. They don't care about George Floyd. They don't even know who he is, a lot of them. They're just there. They're there to riot.
Yes.
Well. And I'll tell you, I don't know. People said it was a little calmer last night. I don't know. Four police officers got shot in St. Louis.
Yes.
There was other people that got shot last night around the country. Other police officers got shot last night around the country. And then you had, not too long ago, Governor Cuomo in New York, 2 hours ago, said he threatened to displace New York Mayor de Blasio and bring in the National Guard.
Yeah.
Says the mayor and the New York Police Department failed last night. And I don't know what orders were given to the New York Police Department. I don't know what orders are given to any police department around the country. I feel like many of them are sitting there helpless because they can't do anything. If they attempt to form any kind of self-defense, it seems like they're all walking on eggshells. This is not the... And I'd be scared to death if I was a police officer right now, because I'll tell you, if I feel my life is threatened, and I mean someone's really got some kind of a weapon, a knife or a gun, and they're coming at me, and I don't think that's happened yet, but police officers were shot in St. Louis last night. A guy had a drive-by and just started firing.
Yeah.
Four police officers got shot, and one's in critical condition. So, I don't know what the solution is. All I know, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. And people in Philadelphia, I know there have been groups now that have formed their own neighborhood watch groups. And they are standing in front of Targets, in front of local businesses. And the looters who are trying to get in are not going to get in.
Yeah.
So.
I was on my way home yesterday on I-75. And a couple of troopers raced by me at about 90 miles an hour heading south down to Naples. We finally had our first protest in Naples last night, and they started at the government building over on off of 41. And anyway, they all marched down to 5th Street, down where all the highfalutin places are there in downtown Naples. And the cops followed them and watched them every single way. I don't think there was any damage. I think it was all peaceful, to everybody's credit. But that was going on yesterday. Let's go to the phone. Speaking of Naples, Chad in Naples, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. How are you?
Hey, Chad.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on? Doing?
You weren't down around Fifth Avenue last night, were you?
No, man. I was at home. I was at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Watch, I was watching it, but I was at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got little kids, you know, so I can't, you know, leave them home, obviously. So yeah. I don't want them around that. So not sure. That I'm, you know, don't agree with it, but whatever. Pete, you know, it kind of goes what you said. You know, the president, he ain't going to change anything, and no president's going to change anything. It's just going to be a generational thing that's going to gradually get better and better. And, I mean, I'm 43 years old, so, you know, I had tons of black friends. Some of my closest friends playing football were black. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I was kind of used to it. My daughter, I have two daughters. I got a 19-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old daughter. And all their classmates are every color you can imagine. So it doesn't mm-hmm. even, you know, there is no race, you know, until yep. I had to kind of try to explain it the other day,
right.
Which was very mm-hmm. difficult.
Yes.
But until the older generation, like you said, kind of, you know, unfortunately dies off, and then it goes to the next, and it goes to my dad's generation, and you know, it will slowly change. It's just going to take time. But no one person, especially our president, is not going to change it.
Yeah.
And things have changed. It doesn't seem like, because every once in a while, you know, something like this happens. But things are changing. It's just taking time. And I think in another mm-hmm. couple generations, it will get a lot better.
I hope you're right. Yeah,
I think you are right. You hit the nail on the head. I think the younger generation is, now people, you know, the millennials and blah, they get a bad rap sometimes and everything else. But I do think on the whole, I think there's a hell of a lot less racial tension going on with, say, kids who are 15 to 25 than when we were growing up. A lot of instances.
Like you're 1,000% correct. I do.
I mean, I might have told this story before. The first time, I had to deal with a racist situation, I'll never forget it. It was my life, and I was enraged, and if it wasn't for my sister and one of her friends, I might have been in jail, because I was 11, and we're at a roller skating rink, and I'm skating with this African-American girl. She was in my class.
Yeah.
I was even scared to... She asked me, it was like a couple skate, you know, and I played hockey, so I could skate. It was kind of cool and blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
And her name was Janice. She was just sweet, smart, I mean, really, really pretty. I'm 11. She's 11. She's like, Pete, do you want to skate? It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, yeah, okay. And we're skating. I'm skating backwards, and we're laughing. We're talking and making fun of our teacher and, you know, and everything else. And all of a sudden, we go around the corner, and we're, you know, it's the middle of the song. And she, all of a sudden, she's just silently crying. And I'm like, what's the matter? And she's like, did you hear those kids? I go, no, I didn't, because I'm looking at her. She's in... And somebody yelled out something, not the N-word, but right. something very, I lost it. I said, hang on a sec. We skated over. She sat on the side, and I went up to the kid, and I took off my roller skate. It was at the end of the thing anyway. I was going to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
I had him up against the locker, and I was like, what did you say? And my sister came over with a couple of her girlfriends, and they're like, stop it. You're going to stop. I would have bashed his head in. If it wasn't for my sister and a couple of friends, I was seriously going to take my roller skate and hit him upside the head, which I guess would not have been good.
No.
Because I think it might have seriously injured him, and that would have felt horrible.
You'd have gone to juvie.
I just, that's how enraged I felt. I was 11.
Wow.
I was 11. And certainly, you know, we've all heard things growing up and everything else, and everybody has their own different scenario. That's just me basically coming from a neighborhood at the time in Warwick, Rhode Island, that wasn't necessarily heavily populated with African Americans, but this girl was in my class and she was great. I never even thought about race. I didn't think about it. Never did. Yeah. It didn't even occur to me about that.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that shocked me when I was a kid, the first time I ever heard about it, is when one of my friends got divorced. His parents got divorced.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that in my life until I was like 12 years old. I'm like, what? Your parents got divorced. It broke my heart. I was like, God, I can't even imagine if that ever happened. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But this was a situation that I will never, ever forget it.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
It kind of hits home.
Yeah.
We'll take your reaction at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Also, want to let you know, on a brighter note, we are giving away a brand new 3-burner Weber grill for Father's Day this year. All you have to do is submit your favorite photo of you and your dad at 993ESPN.com. My daughter said she posted one up yesterday just for fun.
Nice.
I got to go see if I can find this on there.
Oh.
So on Father's Day, we'll tally, and I'm not eligible to win, of course. On Father's Day, we'll tally up all the votes, and the photo with the most votes will win a brand new grill for Dad. So do whatever you have to do. Let everybody know about it. Send them a link to our website at 993ESPN.com. Tell your friends and family to vote for you and your photo, and maybe you'll get a brand new three-burner Weber grill for Father's Day. Scheman and Shepherd, we are just warming up on a Tuesday on 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I am Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. It is a Tuesday. Red Alert Tuesday coming up in 1 hour. Followed by Master Pete Theater. Let's go back to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. That is also our Stony Brook Golf Club text line, 239-337-3776. Jerry in Naples, you're on with Scheman and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, Jerry. I think I got a pretty interesting perspective on this because I'm biracial. I'm half Mexican, half white. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My father was a police officer for 28 years. And that's the Mexican part of my family, and he experienced tons and tons of racism. Mm-hmm. So I think my perspective on this is unique. I see racism throughout all the races. I don't feel like it's white people or black people. I think every race has their own sort of racism towards other races.
Yes,
and I think that's where the misconception is. I think people need to look hard at themselves, whether you're black, white, Mexican, Cuban, mm-hmm. whatever you are, mm-hmm. to see, you know, how to treat people better. Because I think it's a spread out subject. It's not just centralized on one person or on one race.
It's a human subject. That's what it is. I mean, that's the key word. It's a human subject.
I just feel like it's too focused on white people. Which I think is not fair. Because, you know, I look white. I don't look Hispanic whatsoever, and neither do my children. My children both look very white. And we get racism towards us because we're not dark enough. So, you know, we don't fit in with the Latin crowd that my wife is Cuban, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we don't fit in with, we're not dark enough, when our hair's not black enough, our eyes are too green.
And isn't that so ridiculous? Isn't that unbelievably ridiculous?
Right. You know? So you know, to say that, you know, it's mostly white people, I think is kind of short-sighted and naive. Mm-hmm. I think you know, people need to look a little bit harder at the situation and what the real problem is, and that's, I think, ignorance. Mm. You know, there's not enough knowledge of other races and what they go through to really solve this problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry, I mean, I have nothing to add. I thought you said that so well. Thanks for taking the time to pick up the phone and say that today. Appreciate you calling.
Yeah, and go Broncos. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry. All right, let's go to...
Yeah, makes points.
Yeah, let's go to Grayson in Fort Myers. Grayson, you're on with Scheman and Shepherd. Hello.
Grayson. Hey, guys. Hey. I'm Mr. Know-It-All on text line.
Oh, okay.
Follow up what I was saying. I don't want to grab on you guys too much because I'm really glad to hear people talking about stuff.
Uh-huh.
But for it just felt tone deaf for me to lead off the entire broadcast by talking about your complaints about a single statement. I don't think it did justice to what's actually going on in our nation, where we're actually getting traction on social issues. And I believe you, Craig. I don't think you're inherently racist or anything like that, but it just felt like it wasn't adequately addressing the issue, and that you were making the issue smaller with your statement.
Well, I'll tell you how I put what I contribute to the show together each and every day. I thought yesterday we had an exhaustive, and I mean that in a good way, I think we turned over every stone and had a thorough 3.5-hour conversation on the very serious matter of the topic. Now, when I decide what I want to talk about, and I'm not going to speak for Pete, but I'm sure he has some same mechanism as well. You read something, you see something, and if it sparks something deep down inside of you, then it's worth talking about on the radio. And if it interests me, it interests our audience. And what Mark Cuban's tweet had that reaction with me, and I wanted to talk about it today. And frankly, it got you to call, which is my job. So I did my job well so far today in the first 35 minutes of the show.
The other thing too, Mr. Know-It-All, I mean, it's sort of sports related because it's Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, and we could sit here all day and talk about tweets of every single politician. I mean, I got millions of them. I don't retweet them. Very few do I retweet because I don't want to start some kind of a war because I hate politics. You know, I don't want to. It's not about taking sides. I think the overall issue, Mr. Know-It-All, is this: is that the death of George Floyd, on the whole, has now been cast aside because these looters and rioters have taken over the country.
The last
5 days. That to me is the saddest issue of all. Is that now we're talking about deploying the military to stop a bunch of thieves and right, who don't give a damn about George Floyd, don't care who he is. All they care about is getting the next case of booze or sneakers or whatever it is. That's the sad part of this whole thing.
Well, I'm disappointed that you let that be the narrative, because I don't want to criticize you much. I know you guys talk about people stacking the show for you and that you don't want people making a show. And I agree. You guys are on the air all the time. You guys talk, and you guys talk about what matters to you. But I don't think rioting should detract from the issue. And I understand.
But
what
it did.
But it, but it, I agree with you, but it is. How it, can it, it totally hijack it?
What percentage of the people out there rioting compared to peaceful protests? It gets all the news coverage when in reality it detracts from the actual.
Are you serious? What the hell have you been watching?
We've had 140 cities rioted, damaged, and cities are being burnt down. What are you talking about?
There's peaceful protests going on all over the place.
Yeah, there are.
To the actual rioting.
I just pointed out we had a peaceful protest. Hold on, we had a peaceful protest in Naples last night. I mentioned it. I described the whole thing. But I'm sorry, New York City, St. Louis, cops are being shot.
Los Angeles, Miami,
targets being burned
Detroit,
down.
Providence, Boston. I mean,
that
honestly,
the story. That is the story.
It's got to stop.
I 100% agree. That's what the media is talking about. Well, why can't we? You guys did a great job yesterday talking about social issues, but I don't understand why we can't, solutions can't be on the forefront of our discussion. We're riots. We understand these guys are criminals. That nobody's arguing about that.
But that's not the solution.
What's your solution? Bob, you're Governor DeSantis right now. What do you do?
What do you mean?
What would you do if you were governor? Tell me what you would do. How would you let the police act?
Say that again. I couldn't hear you.
Tell me what you would do. Would you want to, the National Guard? And I'm talking about particularly now in Miami and Fort Lauderdale, where it's been just in this state alone. Okay, the last 48 hours, it's gotten a little bit worse. But overall, what would you do? Deploy the National Guard? Give police the right to do what? Keep firing tear gas until the rioters stop? What would you do?
Or let them burn it all down?
No, absolutely. I would stop the rioters. I'm not criticizing the stopping of rioters.
Tell me, what would you do?
None of my statements that I say that not stopping riots is incorrect.
What would you do?
What would I do long term? The problem with politicians is they don't look long term. I would have investments in communities that improve education.
How are you going to stop the rioting tonight?
Listen to me. How would you stop the rioters right now? There's a curfew around the country in a lot of cities and towns starting at 7 o'clock. What would you do right now in the state of Florida to stop it tonight before more people die and have their businesses destroyed?
I'm calling National Guard, the police. I think that's a fair assessment. I have no issue with that.
Okay, are they allowed to open fire if they feel their lives are in danger, or tear gas at least until the crowds, the rioters and looters disperse? Is that okay?
I think whatever is deemed, the police deem is correct. If they deem that tear gas is correct, if there's violent looters that is imminently threatening people, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But in my heart, I don't believe that there's just rampages on every street in America when I think there's, for the vast majority of the day, there's peaceful protests that we should be talking about.
Grayson, when you have Fox News, yeah, MSNBC, and CNN all showing the same bleep out there, it's going on. All right? It's not like anybody's enhancing anything. It's going on.
What about last evening, where President Trump tear gassed a peaceful protest in order for a photo shoot in front of St. John's Church? Have you guys read?
Yeah,
that
it wasn't a good look. I agree with you. It was not a good look at all. I agree with you. Wasn't a good look.
It was a terrible look. You're suppressing a peaceful protest. It was a bona fide peaceful protest for a photo shoot.
I'm going to stop you right there. That was not a peaceful protest. It's been going on for 3 days. They burnt that park down. They burnt that church down that was across the street. That was not peaceful. That was not peaceful.
Well, I don't know if that particular group last night burned the church down, but yeah, look, overall, it wasn't a great look, nor did I think it was a great look of him holding up a Bible in front of the church. That to me was phony baloney crap that a lot of politicians, they all do it.
It was phony, but I liked it, actually. I thought it was a good statement. I know it was fake. I understand what was going on. I know it was a photo op, but I liked it. I think people need more God and Grayson, I appreciate the phone call. I think that's where this starts, man. God in people's hearts. That's where it starts. I had no problem with the President of the United States holding up a Bible in front of a church yesterday. I know it was a photo op. I totally agree with you on that. It was a fraudulent look.
It was a fraudulent look.
I didn't mind it. It wasn't genuine at all.
I didn't mind it.
I don't deny all that. I just didn't mind it.
I find that funny, and thank you for the call, Grayson. We're not going to hang up on you just because we disagree or whatever. But, you know, you say, like, let's let the police use their own discretion when controlling these riots and these looters. We're in this conversation right now because a police officer had terrible discretion, right?
Yeah.
So we're what, giving the same guys the same power that they already had before when we've got a whole group of people saying, no, this isn't right. I mean,
as we said yesterday, it's got to start. You got to stop it at the beginning. And I'm just talking strictly now about every single local police department. And it's got to be, if something like this happens, you can't have his three fellow officers there. One was Asian, I believe, just sitting there watching. You know, this, it's got to stop. And I still, forgive me for saying this, but I think it is incredibly stupid in this day and age to do anything, to act out of the norm, unless you a police officer, if you're life is in danger, somebody's got a gun to your head, all that stuff, you have a right to self, fine, do whatever you got to do. If it causes a fatality and you're defending yourself because you're about to get shot, I got no problem with that. But there are cameras everywhere, and I still, for the life of me, do not understand how policemen in this country, again, it's a small percentage because we love the law enforcement, the small percentage of policemen who still don't think they're being filmed 24/7. I don't understand it in this day and age. Big Brother is watching every street lamp, every business, every car, every person has a cell phone. You're being filmed. You can't get away with something like this. And what happened to George Floyd? There's no way in this day and age that's going to happen. I'm talking about even people committing crimes, not police, other people committing crimes on the whole. If you're not, you know, full costume, they're going to see you. They're going to get the license plate of your car on the whole. They're going to catch you.
Well, yes and no.
Cameras everywhere.
Don't forget, Armand Arbery, the kid that got was jogging in Atlanta and got shot.
Yep.
That video didn't come out for 2 months later. I mean, had that video not come out, because that incident happened in February, and we just found out about it a few weeks ago. Again, there was video of it, but it was on somebody's cell phone. Those guys would have got away with that one.
Well, look, what we always say, and this is a much smaller level, but it's still a violent crime, was Ray Rice. And if that elevator camera is not working, we don't have any of this. I mean, that particular situation.
All right, let me see if we get some rapid-fire phone calls in here before our break here. We're running late. Let's go to Witten. Witten, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, so there's one method that I've personally seen that works on weeding out the bad guys. So if you've ever had any involvement with SEAL teams or the Navy and you know how they work, it's up to a peer review. So the good guys will always know who the bad guy is, and that's how they wean out the guys who aren't going to be the ones who have the best interests in mind.
Well, why wasn't this guy weeded out before? Because I understand there were some problems with him and the Minnesota police force in the past.
Mm-hmm. The peer review board, it's pretty much like they'll get the whole team together and they vote on if this guy's a good guy, you know, if this guy's on his stuff. And if they're not, they get demerits towards them. And then after enough guys get those demerits against them, they get pushed out of the team.
All right. Let me keep going. Witten, thank you for the call. I believe it's the first time caller. Yeah. Let's go to Anthony in Naples. Anthony, go ahead.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I know you guys are crunching for time, so I'll be quick.
Thanks. That's all right.
You know, I think the issue here at the end of the day is not so much – I think the one caller made a great point. It's not so much just black people and white people. I think it's just a mentality issue of ignorance, not understanding different cultures. And it also comes down to the police force. Like, they have to change their process in hiring police officers, because from what I understand, it doesn't take that much to become a police officer. And, you know, one thing that they need to make a requirement, I should say, is get them into some sort of training where the last resort is to pull the gun, or to, you know, I guess maybe this isn't the best one, because I was thinking jujitsu. Some might argue that the guy that killed George Floyd was technically using a jujitsu move. But by using something like that, you're able to, you know, even if you're a small woman cop, you're able to, if you're profound enough in jujitsu, you can take control of a situation.
Okay, but my problem is, if it is jujitsu and he put his neck on, it can't be in the police policy handbook when you go through training. Put your knee on the back of a neck and choke a guy out for 9 minutes. That's got to change.
And I'm pretty sure this is a fact. The last thing a police officer wants to do at any time is draw his gun. I'm pretty much sure that is ingrained into their heads from the get go.
Because they're taught if you do pull it, you got to use it. That's the last resort. Absolutely. Yeah. Squeeze in one more. Sean, you're with Sheeman and Shepherd. Go ahead, Sean.
I'll just make it real quick. I saw a reporter that was talking from out in California, and they were pointing out how everybody in the media is trying to make this a black and white narrative. And he said, even though the population is closer between Latinos and blacks, and obviously whites to black, he said, comparative, there is quite a big rift, he said, that's not reported between the Latino communities and the black communities across the country in most cities too. But he said the narrative seems to be always just, oh, it's black and white, it's black and white, it's black and white. So there's a bigger problem than just the black and white issue too, unfortunately.
Probably right on that. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate that. We're tight on time. We'll keep it going. 239-337 ESPN. We've got Sound Street. That is coming up next. There are other things to discuss as well. We will get to that. Plus, we've got Red Alert at 3:30.
MLS, how about that?
I really wasn't going to mention. I mentioned them yesterday. I'm good. All right. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
The NBA is trying to get back on the court. The Board of Governors, i.e. the owners, will vote to pass this latest plan to get the NBA on the court. It's what they agreed with the NBA Players Association. On Get Up this morning, here's Adrian Wojnarowski.
The Board of Governors are going to pass whatever the plan is that Adam Silver and the Players Association bring them. They have zeroed in on a 22-team format, likely the 16 teams that are in the playoff, you know, 1 through 8 in both conferences right now, and then 6 more teams, likely 5 in the Western Conference, 1 in the East.
I'm hearing that some of these smaller market teams who will be left out are upset. They're losing on chance for revenue, I guess. I don't know how that gets divided up. Here's Wojnarowski. Says young NBA teams have concerns with the prolonged layoff.
As the league returns to Orlando, there are teams who want to feel a part of the National Basketball Association. They don't want to be left out in the short term. They want to go play. The longer term, the idea of your season ending in March and not starting again, playing another NBA game until likely late December, that big of a gap really worries organizations, especially those rebuilding with young players who they can't have around their facilities. They can't have their hands touching these young players, and financially.
All right, and here is Brian Windhorst on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt last night, talking about Adam Silver's efforts has led to easier league negotiations during the pandemic.
He's been making deals with Chris Paul, who's now the union president, since he came into the league. Chris Paul called him 14 years ago and said, hey, I don't like these synthetic balls. Adam Silver helped change it. They've made dozens of moves since then, including changing the All-Star game this year. He's been the commissioner for 6 years. His first order of business was basically kicking Donald Sterling out. His second order of business was negotiating a $24 million deal. That means he got on the players' positive side right off the bat, and he made everybody rich. The last 6 years, it's been all about how are we passing out all this money that's coming in. Now, for the foreseeable future, it's how are we going to deal with this money going out the door? And it set them up for this moment. And I don't think we should take for granted that there's going to be a labor peace in the NBA as we get through this. But the fact that they are going to move forward this week and potentially announce this is an indication all of Adam Silver's hard work is going to lead to something meaningful here.
Okay. Now, basketball showing us the way that this is done. When we come back, we're going to get into baseball. We know we've had the proposal. One was a 100-game season. Then the player says, how about 114-game season? Now there's a 50-game season proposal. Ridiculous. I have some thoughts. I know Pete does.
MLS, too.
I don't know if we're going to have time to get to your MLS, Chris.
I think there's time today.
That'll be a what you got.
Oh, no.
All right. More on baseball.
Big breakthrough between the league and Players Association today. Great news, everyone.
And today is a not-so-happy anniversary for me in baseball as well.
That's right.
We'll share all that. Plus, we got Red Alert Tuesday coming up at 3:30. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.